Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
We're starting a new series today, and I'm super excited about it. It's called Yes and Amen. Brand new series today. We just finished a really great series on finances. It was so awesome. And man, Jerry did preach a couple of weeks ago, and man, he killed it. I wasn't here in the room because I was out doing an interest meeting at the East Campus, and he ripped it, preached it so good. Just the story of Jerry's journey in trusting God and moving away from a position of safety and security, stepping out a little bit and seeing God's faithfulness come through. And he was talking about that. And I love that, you know, that it's more about the revelation than it is about your situation. That's what Jerry preached. It's more about your revelation of who God is than it is about your situation. And your situation today might tell you that God can't be trusted, but your revelation of God knows that He is faithful, that He can be trusted, and that if you can believe that in your heart, it doesn't matter what your situation is. Man, that was a good preach. I could just about preach that whole preach all over again. It was so good. And also, Pastor Phil last Sunday, who was here last Sunday? For Pastor Phil Pringle, no comment. What the heck? I know. I'm sitting there and I'm just like, he made one comment about potentially moving to Canada, and I was like, I resign. Take it. Go. Go. Take the church. Lead. We're just so blessed to be able to be in such an... Did it just make you so grateful for good leadership and that people have... pioneered in 1980 and kept going strong, and they got a strong marriage and a strong family and a strong ministry. Man, it just made me so excited about the future. And man, back then they created a little wake, a little ripple in Christendom, and we are riding that wave. Amen. So you're all like professional surfers on that wave, and it's so good. And it's so good. Just recapping a little bit. Also, something that you need to know about East is, so the way we're going to do it is every now and then we'll do the triple threat. So the reason it's 9:30, then 10:30, then 11:30 is every now and then, probably once a month, I'll just preach all three. And I'm calling that the triple threat. And so I'll come preach here, and then we'll drive over, preach over there, and then come back and preach here. And then some weeks we'll do split preachers. Some weeks there'll be a guest here and whatever. And we're just going to mix it up. The deal is that your spirituality needs a good diet. And just eating, you know, Pastor Sam every week is just like eating broccoli all the time. Nobody likes eating broccoli all the time. And so it's good. You're going to get a good diet, good robust diet of what's going on. And Pastor Greg's preaching, Jerry's preaching, all these wonderful, Chrissy, all these Pastor Jess. How many people love my wife's preaching? I know. All right, let me get into it because I do have a word for you today, and I'm kind of messing around here. And I'm going to go over to the East. The team are over there right now. I'm going to go over and see how everything's going. And it's exciting days ahead. You pumped? 2 Corinthians, that's where we're at. With Paul, 2 Corinthians, yes and amen. Yes and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you can kind of get there. And I'm going to start to talk to you about this. That yes and amen. Yes is, I believe that God's part is yes and our part is amen. And if you can get your amen to line up with God's yes, it's going to go well for you. That's good. Somebody say amen. God is like a giant yes from heaven. His promises are yes. And so the constant Christian journey, the Christian journey is like a constant alignment with God's yes. That when God said, let there be, back, those were the first words that came out of God's mouth. He's never stopped saying those words, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And He has a let there be in your life. Do you know that? He has a let there be over your marriage. He has a let there be over your kids' lives. He has a let there be over your future. He has a let there be. Does somebody believe it? Does somebody want to say amen before we even get going? God has a let there be over your life. There's a promise over your life. Do you know you were created for a purpose? Do you know you were created for a promise? Do you know that your future is brighter than your history? Well, this is the reason I'm preaching this message, because not enough of you are saying amen to that. You need to understand God's promises over your life, His future that is hope and filled with amazing things. And if you misappropriate that, or you misunderstand that, or you doubt that, I believe God's going to help you here this morning. Are you encouraged? You flippin' better be, and you better say amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So 2 Corinthians, and this is where the yes and amen, this is where the passage of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse, I'll start in verse 16. I think you got 17 on the screen, but we'll start there. So Paul is talking to the Corinthian church. He's away and he was intending to come back. And the Corinthian church are saying to him, you said you were going to come back and now you're not coming. And he's kind of talking about a broken promise. How many people sometimes think that God has a whole bunch of broken promises over their life? Things that you once believed, but because they haven't come to pass, you don't know if you can believe them anymore. Well, this message is going to help you today. It's called In Between the Yes and Amen. Because sometimes that gap is huge. In between you understanding God's promise and the fulfillment of God's promise. And so in verse 16, he says, I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and then come back to you from Macedonia and then have you send me on my way to Judea. That was my plan. Verse 17, was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make plans in a worldly manner so in the same breath I say both yes, yes and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. It's not yes and no. It's not yes and no. Some of you need to understand that God's message is not yes over you and no over you. And yes over you and no over you. He's not a person. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't have favorites. Some people sit in church and they think that's great for all the other people. That's great for that tithing message. But that's never happened in my life. I've been tithing for 20 years. I still haven't seen His word to be proven. And even though He did say test me, because it seems like that everybody else gets the yes and I always get the no's. And God only has a nut. There's a bucket full of yeses in heaven, and he kind of ran out when he got to my name. But that's not true. It's not yes and no and yes and no and no and no and no and yes and yes. God is not yes and no. He's not a double-minded God. He doesn't vomit himself out of his own mouth. God is a yes God. Is that good? Is that good? So not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, verse 19, who was preached among you by us, by me, by Silas, by Timothy, by a whole bunch of people. Can you just believe the preaching already? He's like, do you want me to list out some more people? Was not yes and no. Been in him. Has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God made, they are yes in Christ, and through Him the amen, and through Him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes us and you both stand firm in Christ. You've got to stand firm in Christ. Christ is the embodiment of the Word. You've got to stand firm in the Word. You've got to stand firm in the Word. Where was I up to? He anointed us. That's awesome. He anointed us. That word anointed is used three times in the New Testament, the same word, and it means common. It means the anointing is not just for Pastor Phil. And being anointed, Christ is the anointed one, and on the day of salvation, you receive Christ. Therefore, you receive the common anointing. And do you know God's promises, it's not a favorite thing. The anointing is not a favorite thing, that no matter who you are, no matter if you're a businessman wearing a really expensive suit in a high tower in downtown Toronto, if you're running a startup, or if you're, an Uber delivery bicycle rider, or if you're whatever you are, if you're a dad, if you're a mom, no matter who you are, the anointing is not just for the elite, it's for everybody. So he anointed us. He did three things. He anointed us, he set the seal on us, and he put the Spirit on our hearts as a guarantee. He anointed us, he set the seal of ownership on us, so the devil, not today. He don't get to tamper with this seal because it's sealed in Jesus' name. And the devil cannot tamper with the promise of God over your life because it is sealed in Jesus' name. The devil cannot tamper it. The devil cannot go into the tomb and tamper with Jesus. The key to the tomb was on the inside where Jesus was, and he was the one that removed the seal. Jesus is large and in charge, and he's got the one with all the control. So the next time you think the devil's out to get you and steal the promises of God over your life, you need to be reminded today in the yes and amen opening message of the series that you can't be tampered with. You are sealed in Jesus' name. Somebody give God some praise. Somebody give God some praise. Set a seal of ownership over us. You are owned by Jesus. Say, Jesus owns me. Jesus owns me, and put his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You carry the Holy Spirit, you carry the Spirit of God. So I want to talk to you about the frustrated people on the in-between. I want to talk to some people here today that once believed God. You understand that God's word moves mountains, but you're just staring at a stinking mountain. And you don't know what to believe. You come to church week in and week out, and you somewhat decided in your heart that you're kind of sick of going to church because the thing that you're believing for and hope deferred makes the heart sick, and you're bothered by it. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the thing that you're carrying on the inside called the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and that his promises are yes, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I think we're getting there. God is a yes God. God wants to say yes to you. There's a thing where we can miss the mark, and God doesn't want to align with us when we miss the mark. We don't water God down to line up with our carnality. We've got to make sure our alignment is up with the Word of God. But when we're aligning with God's will, it's kind of easy. He wants every reason to say yes. When Noah says to me, Daddy, can I go to bed? I'm like, yeah. That is a pending yes. Anytime you want a nap, anytime you want to go to bed. No, he's great. He's awesome. I got a three and a half year old boy. Sometimes I have to cast demons out of him, but it's all good. And so, but when you align up with the Word of God, when you align up with the promises of God, what good father doesn't just want to say yes? Daddy, I think I really want to eat my Brussels sprouts tonight. No, you'll get them after you eat your chocolate. God wants what's good for you. And what's good for you is written in his word. And if we align with his word, he ain't got no problem saying yes. It really is as simple as that. He doesn't want to accommodate for our human desires, but he desires that every mountain be removed from your life. He really does. He really does. In 2 Peter 1 verse 4, it says this, because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Do you know there are great and precious promises over your life? You need to know that. I'm talking to someone who feels like a little bit left out, feels like a little bit on the in-between, feels like the testimony of God is something that you can hardly remember. That when God says, man, there's power in my testimony, you're like, I can't even think of one single story that I want to give God some glory about. And there are some people in this room, and you can't even remember the last time you felt that you could easily give God glory. But I want to tell you today that in 2 Peter it says that he has given you. That's past tense. He's not getting ready to give you. There's something over your life called the inheritance of the kingdom, and he's put this inheritance over your life. He's sealed it through the guarantee of the Holy Spirit that there is something awaiting for you, his great and precious promises. I'm trying to encourage you today because too many people want to politically correct the Bible when God just wants you to have an awesome life. Is there such a problem with that? I don't think there is. So what do you do? What do you do when God's promises don't seem to have been a reality yet? Is his yes still yes? And this was the problem with Paul, is Paul was about the Word of God. He was about the ministry of God. And the Corinthians were saying, like, what's the problem here? You're not coming. And now I don't know what to believe. And Paul's saying, no, no, you got this. Point one is God's word is true no matter what. It really, that's a good point for somebody today. God's word is true no matter what. There's a story of the little simple illustration where there was two girls sitting next to each other at school. And one girl said to the other girl, one friend said to the other friend, hey, you know, like I have 10 coins. And she held out her hand, and in the palm of her hand, she was showing what was in her hand, and it was 5 coins in her hand. And the other girl said, no, you don't have 10 coins. You've only got 5 coins. And the girl said, no, my daddy told me that he was going to give me the other 5 coins. End of the story. So good. There was something in her revelation of who her father was that it was as good as done, yeah, knowing his word. That it didn't matter if it wasn't appropriated into her life yet, that as long as his word said it, it was as good as done. It was as good as done. And there are too many people hesitating in the valley of decision whether God's word is true over their life, and they're wondering why the appropriation of God's promises haven't manifested in their life yet. It's simply because the wavering and the hesitation, it says in James, let that man not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. You receive it before it comes. It's called faith. Amen. Amen. God gives you a picture. He's already given you a picture of that wife, of that husband, of those kids, whatever it is. This God's sense of the vision in your life. He wants to do more through you than you can ever dream or imagine. It hasn't come to pass yet. You only have the 5 coins in hand right now. But what is his word over your life? And if he said it, it's as good as done. Somebody say amen. I believe this is good Thanksgiving preaching. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it seems when you step out on God's word, everything goes in the opposite direction. I was riding my bike, and, you know, Jess and I were house shopping, and I was riding my bike, and Jess, you know, the rule of thumb when you go house shopping is do not attach yourself to the house. Because that always gives you a good negotiating position where you don't just fall in love with the house and then, you know, whatever it takes, you're going to end up overpaying for it. So Jess fell in love with this house. And I was like, great, babe. Right? So she fell in love with this house, and I'm riding my bike, and I was riding on the way to prayer Thursday night, 7 p.m., Rehearsal Factory. Riding on the way to prayer, corporate prayer, everyone's invited. And so I'm going, and I decided to detour and go past where the house was. And I just wanted to pray. It's like, God, if I'm going to do this, it's well beyond anything that I thought that we could do. I need your yes. Otherwise, what's the point of me saying amen? So as I'm doing it, and I felt the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, it really was one of those moments. It was one of those moments when we first walked into this auditorium, and I was like, yeah, that's right. It's one of those moments when we found the east side, and I was like, yeah, that's right. It's one of those, yeah, this just feels, this is a God green tick about the next step. Amen. And then we put an offer in, no sign back. I was like, hang on a second. I thought there was a green tick. Put a second offer in, no sign back, nothing, no word. Feeling a little bit at disarray, a little bit disillusioned. I'm like, hang on a second, God, now we're beyond our means. And he's like, exactly. He's like, exactly. If you're not in a dead situation yet, if life support is still on, if humanistic life support is still on what you're believing God to move in your life, he might just wait a little bit. Might just wait where he was for 2 more days while Lazarus is in the tomb. Because he just want to make sure the situation is really dead so he has the opportunity to really resurrect. And he can't be the resurrection to something that's still alive. And sometimes when you want the resurrection to come to pass in your life, but you're still trying to apply human method to it, and this point in between the yes and amen is a very scary position. The long story short is it ended up happening, and the house ended up, it's in our possession, we got the keys, and it was a miracle. All right, it was a miracle, the way it all happened. Don't have time to tell you that today, but let's be thankful. Amen. All right. But sometimes, sometimes, sometimes there's an in-between period between the yes and the amen that's in a moment, in a season. You know, you're talking days, you're talking weeks, you're talking months. What if you're believing for healing and you've been believing for that healing for 10 years? Is God's yes still yes? What if you've been believing for a breakthrough in relationship and you're still single at 35? You're still single at 40? What if you were believing for that past relationship, but now you're a divorcee? What if you're believing for your kid's salvation, but your kid's 21, they've left home, they're out doing drugs and God knows what other stuff they're doing. What are you believing for over their life now? This is the challenge with the yes and amen. This is the challenge with lining up with God's word, is do your circumstances change God's promise? Or at some point, do you just have to keep believing that your circumstances will eventually line up with God's promise? There is only one answer to that question, and the answer is the latter, that you just have to keep believing. You need to keep standing, and the only way that you can stand firm in a shaky world is on the rock, and His name is Jesus. He is the one that we stand firm on. If you try and stand firm on the promises of God using your own tenacity, the Bible says in Isaiah 40 that the young men will show weakness. They will utterly fall, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, and they will mount up on something that soars above every single circumstance, and you will fly over all the trouble, over all the pain, and heck, you can fly over that mountain as well. Sometimes the circumstances never change. Our goal is to bring heaven's realities to earth. Sometimes in people's lives, in good believers' lives, sometimes those realities never come to earth, but eventually they'll be glorified in heaven. Period. God's promise came to pass. So is it going to happen now, or is it going to happen when you end up in heaven? Are you going to get healed from cancer now, or are you going to get healed from cancer when you go to glory in heaven? The timing isn't up to you. The belief is. Forget about trying to work out the timing. What's your position on the Word of God? That's the only thing that you need to work out. Once you work out your position on the Word of God, be unwavering in the name of Jesus. Somebody give God some praise. Somebody give God some praise. Habakkuk 2 verse 3 says this, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." Okay, when? Jesus, tell me, when? An appointed time. That doesn't help me. I'm in between. It's an appointed time, not by you, by me, but in the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. Wait, hang on a second. Is it going to delay or not? Is it going to be a long time, or is it not? Sometimes God takes a long time to move suddenly. Sometimes it feels like it tarries. Sometimes waiting for a day feels like it tarries. Man, when you send that text out, "Hey, I just want to let you know that I really like you." What do you think? How long is he going to make me wait? 24 hours? It's been 20. What does this mean? What does this mean? I've got to get some word. Habakkuk 2. Though it tarries, he'll not tarry. Though it tarries, he will not tarry. At a point in time, it'll come, it'll come, it'll come. Should I send another text? Should I just leave this text? Should I, like, you know, if I text him twice, then, like, I don't know, like, does that make me a stalker? Like, what if he doesn't want to stalk? What if I need to fight? Do I need to fight? Is this, am I waiting for this door to be open? Or is God going to, you know, does he want me to make this door open? Is he, I don't even know if he's meant to be the one. It's been 5 minutes! I know, wherever it's at. Sometimes you need to believe and believe and believe and believe and believe and believe and believe, and then you don't need to believe anymore because you did believe 10 times. No. You need to believe and you need to believe and you need to. That's why you're called a believer. It's funny when believers stop believing. Come on. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of God endures." The question is does your stance on the Word of God endure? Number two, Believing God's word makes you unstoppable, and the devil knows it. If the devil can discredit the man or woman of God or cause you to question Paul, Paul, were you coming or weren't you coming? And if you said you were coming and you're not coming, now I'm going to discredit your character. And if I discredit the man of God's character, then that means God's character is in question. And if God's character is in question, then his word is in question. I want to tell you, God's character is never in question, but the devil is going to try and make you question God's faithfulness and his character every time. Adam and Eve, God said, the devil said, did God really say? Is God faithful to his character? Is God faithful to his word? The devil knows that the alignment, that your amen aligning to the yes of the word of God makes the devil quiver in his boots. You were called to storm the gates of hell. The gates of hell were never meant to prevail against the person who is armed with the word of God. The most offensive weapon you have is the sword of the Spirit, and it pierces right through, and that double-edged weapon that you have that lines your tongue, the word of God, I want to tell you that when the devil knows and understands that you are a person of the word, that you carry the word on the inside of you, and you stand up on the word, and it's on the tip of your tongue, and God's promises are on the tip of your tongue, and you say, devil, no weapon formed against me will prosper, and you start to declare that on your life, and then he starts to feel a little bit powerless. The most powerful person on the planet is someone armed with the word of God. That is you, and the devil knows it, and he knows. He knows that if he can rattle your cage on Thanksgiving Sunday and say, come on, Pastor Sam's a liar. He said that that was going to happen in your life. Pastor Sam told you he was going to be your friend, and now he doesn't hug you anymore. Now you discredit Pastor Sam. So therefore you discredit anything Pastor Sam says. Therefore anything C3 around the world says must be false. Therefore God is some sort of weird liar, some sort of carrot dangler. It never actually happens over my life. Therefore I discredit God Almighty. Don't let somebody's human ways, somebody's humanity step in the way of God's divinity. It doesn't matter if you're upset and hurt and offended by some sort of Christian leadership in your life. If somebody let you down, I'm sorry, go get a hug. But at the end of the day, people will let you down. God will never let you down. If you're upset and bitter at some church, at something in the history, it's time in the name of Jesus to get over it. Get over it and start to believe God's word again. It's not the church's responsibility to walk your walk of faith out for you. Nobody can believe God's word for you. If God's word either is firm in your heart or it's not, and unfortunately, that's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. And you become unshakable. And the only reason you got offended in the past time is because you were too shakable, and you were too shakable is because you were living off everybody else's word, off everybody else's revelation, and you are yet to go and read the Bible yourself. That's just this is called the sandwich, where I say something encouraging, then I kind of hit you between the eyes. Now I'm going to say something encouraging again. Pastoral sandwich. It's true though. Too many people are shaky. Too many people's Christianity is shaky. It's because they want the podcast to revitalize their lack of commitment to Jesus. We got to be people of the word. I'm just going to get the keys up. Come on. Paul said, was I fickle when I intended to do this? I'm about the word of God. I'm going about the business. Plans changed, but God's word stands forever. Was I fickle? You're going to discredit me, therefore you're going to not be a believer anymore. What's the deal here? Let me know. I just want you to know that God's word isn't yes and no. It's yes. And when God says yes, it happened. If God said the pages of my Bible is black, he wouldn't be lying. It's because he's so creative and so powerful that the moment he says it, the pages would turn black. He can't lie. Because he can create whatever the heck he wants to. He's God. And if he says you're healed, newsflash, It's done. It's done. If he says you're married, and the person that you're married to, the person of your future, is such a great and precious promise, there ain't no reason to believe anything different. You didn't all of a sudden get ugly. You didn't, whatever, where you're at, whatever. I know the thoughts. You're good. God's promises still stands. God is bigger than our doubts. He's bigger than our insecurities. The in-between. The last point, the Holy Spirit is our comfort. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, it says, He is the guarantee of what's to come. How good is that? How good is that? You go to an airport, you get a plane ticket. And the plane ticket says, go to this gate. And when you go to this gate, there's going to be a seat on a plane. This is your seat number. Oh man, that's a promise of things to come. You got the ticket. The Holy Spirit's like your ticket, your guarantee of things to come. And what's written on the Holy Spirit is what's written on your future. Too many Christians just walk to the wrong gate. Doesn't matter. Just keep reading the ticket. Keep trying to correct, self-correct, because you can't go to the wrong gate and still get the promise that's on the other side of the right gate. So you keep knocking, you'll find. Keep asking, you'll receive. See, you take that ticket, you take that guarantee, and if someone tries to occupy your seat, it doesn't matter. If you think somebody else won the highlighter from heaven contest and they got the prophecy and you missed out, can you stop believing? It's time to believe again. John 14 verse 26 says this, but the advocate, that word advocate means comforter, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I said. When you're in the in-between and the devil's trying to remind you that God's a failure and the devil's trying to remind you to take part of some other prostituted promise, he's trying to remind you to walk a different way, to do it in your own strength. Turn to the Holy Spirit. You carry Christ on the inside of your heart and he will comfort you through A, B, C, D. And then when you go back to B, he'll comfort you there and he'll take you to E. In the in-between, what did Jesus leave us? The promise of the Holy Spirit. And when all doubt fills your world and you just take a moment, you say, Holy Spirit, can you just remind me again? Can you just remind me again? Because comfort isn't filling my world about what God's ready to do. Stress, anxiety, I'm freaking out. I'm filled with fear. But then he reminds you, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I gave you power, you can get through this. I gave you love so you know the guarantee. And I'm going to keep you all sound and correct and we're going to get through this. Come on, take another step. Come on, go again. Come on, believe again. Go to the hospital and pray again. Come on. You're a believer, and I'm going to believe with you, the advocate. So when you're in your in-between, between your now and God's future, your pain, your healing, when you're in between your stress and God's peace, when you're in between your trials and God's victory, when you're in between your valleys and God's breakthrough, when you're in between your doubts and God's light, we have the Comforter. And his name is the Holy Spirit.